Good morning, Arizona homeowners and gardeners. Welcome to Rosie on the House. In the 8 o'clock hour, as always, we're in the garden with John J. Harper and other special guests. We have in studio today Miss Julie Murphy of the Arizona Farm Bureau. But before we get started, I have a shout-out to do.
What?
Yeah.
We don't
do
those often.
I know, but there is some...
There's a
very, very regular listener that I'm told listens every single Saturday.
You are giving a shout out to your mom.
With her earbuds in as she works out in the yard. This woman, I saw the yard this week. This woman has moved 10 to 12 tons of rock one wheelbarrow at a time. It is an incredible project. So she's out there now. It's a beautiful morning to be moving rocks by hand.
How big are rocks? I mean, are these like quarter-inch granite?
No, these are river rocks, 3 to 8 inches.
Does she have a wheelbarrow?
She does not have a wheelbarrow, but she
needs... She must have some guns then, baby.
I didn't see her. I only met her husband.
Don't want to mess with her.
No, you wouldn't.
But I want to do a special shout-out to Miss Ivy. Never met her. But she's a woman of constitution. I know that.
Is she married?
She's married.
Okay.
Yes, she is married. I met her husband.
That's a man that's got, the chores around the house figured out, honey.
Yes, he does. Yes. She is doing this all completely by herself. What an inspirational project. I saw a wheelbarrow and a rake and a shovel in the yard, and I saw where some rocks were missing in one corner of the yard, and I was just getting ready to leave, and her husband said, look, you got to come see what she's doing in the backyard. It blew me away. It is a wash that's probably 300 feet long, 4 to 6 feet wide. She's hand-placing these river rocks one rock at a time.
Sounds like a good
stress reliever. For that.
So here's to Ivy. God bless you, darling. Like I say, that's a woman of constitution right there. So.
Well, if we're not going to stack rocks by hand, Jay, what should we be doing in the yard today?
And whatever you're trying to tackle around the house, we're here to take your calls. It's a call-in talk show. Let's hear about your landscaping, planting, fertilizing, trimming, watering dilemmas. You call 1-888-767-4348. John Jay and Julie Murphy of the Arizona Farm Bureau here to answer your questions. We're going to talk farmer's market and spring gardening a little bit today, aren't we?
Well, before you have a farmer's market, you got to have a garden. Before you have a garden, you have to have a foundation to the garden, playing on your topic of foundations today. So the foundation to that garden is the soil that we grow things in, and you will not have a good garden if you don't have great soil.
Does that consist of 13 tons of rock?
Well, you might need to get the 13 tons of rock out of the way to have that great garden spot and haul in 13 tons of good composted material. The key to our, if you're going to garden in the ground here as opposed to a raised bed garden, is lots of organic material. We happen to like and have been selling for the last 4 or 5 months the product that Hickman's makes from their chicken operation. It's a good, great compost, and we're selling the heck out of it. And this is the time of year you want to add a lot of compost. You want to add gypsum and probably some organic fertilizer. The gypsum is because our soil's pretty clay and heavy and alkaline. The gypsum will help counteract that.
And you have to look for that Hickman's brand. Most of their product is trucked out and goes to golf courses. Even Clint Hickman can't tell you all the locations that you can find that retail
location. They do have it on their website. They do have a list of folks that handle it on their website. So you can go there. At least the ones that are recently handling it should have it.
Do you receive that in bulk? Do I have to come pick it up in bulk?
No, it's bagged.
It's a bag product.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's bagged in a really nice, attractive bag, plastic bag. It's a little heavy, but we'll load it for you.
No, that's local.
That's local.
That's local, baby.
That's
it don't get more local than that. But I guess you could produce a lot of that with 6 million chickens.
Yeah, probably.
That's one chicken for every man, woman, and child in the state of Arizona. And rumors at it, they're doubling the size of that place. Julie?
They are. They're going to have another plant. I'm not quite sure what the numbers are now, but we will have plenty of eggs and plenty of fresh Hickman family eggs in our grocery stores.
That's
and more compost.
And more compost.
So we can grow great gardens.
Time to amp up the production of that bagging line.
That's
there.
Right. So let's say you've got a 10 by 10 garden plot, 100 square feet. You need about 5 or 6 bags of compost. You need about 10 pounds of gypsum and a couple pounds of fertilizer. You need to work that in, mix it all together down to, a foot would be great, 6 inches to a foot. Get the rocks, get the clods, get all that stuff out. Water it really good a time or two. And then I would take the shovel and turn it good again, and then you're ready to plant, because next weekend it's time to get those maters in the ground.
Oh,
now you may need to cover them and protect them a little bit for the first couple of weeks, but it's time this coming week and next weekend to be getting prepped for our warm season, vegetable season. Tomatoes, peppers, squash, cucumbers, melons all start going in the ground this month. Not going to be successful if you don't take the time in this next week or so. Now, you got a big Super Bowl party Sunday. You're going to eat a lot of crap, probably. This would be a great weekend to get out and burn some calories off.
Burn it ahead of time so you're
absolutely
going to go extra overboard.
Absolutely. You got it.
Now, in big agriculture, we do a lot of crop rotating. If somebody had a raised plant or garden full of tomatoes last year, can you just keep planting those same tomatoes? Can you add supplement?
It's not a terrible idea to move them from one end, back and forth. In a raised garden, you're not really growing. You're growing in a soilless or a groundless mix. It's a bagged mixed soil, whether you make it yourself or not. Not going to be as prone to having problems, perhaps, as crops in rows in the ground would be. But it's still not a terrible idea to move things around, to grow different things. We've had the problem more with flowers, with vinca and petunias, in the last few years, of people planting the same vinca petunia in the same beds and pots and things year after year, and they've developed some issues. So changing it up, not a bad idea.
John Jay, what's an ideal size for the beginner gardener?
That's a great question. And it depends on your living situation. You can do a great garden in a what I call a 15-gallon nursery bucket and have two or three of those sitting around on the patio if you live in a patio home. I think the key to any great garden probably is starting smaller than you think you should start. 10 by 10 is actually sounds small, but that you can grow a lot of stuff in a 10 by 10.
When you start putting the seeds
garden
in the ground, that space becomes pretty big pretty quick.
I think the ideal thing, if I was telling somebody to start gardening, would be about 4x4. And then, you can do the old square foot garden thing. Whether you do it in the ground or in a kit, you can do the same concept. And then, so you've got 16 square feet. In theory, you've got 16 places to plant something. And you think about that. Well, that's, 4 or 5 tomato plants, a couple of pepper plants, a couple of squash plants,
For a family, that's ideal.
Yeah. So that's 4x4. That's not very much space to deal with. So start with that. A couple bags of compost, a little bag of fertilizer, some gypsum, 15, 20 bucks, you're done.
And whether you're an expert gardener and you've been doing this for years, or you're getting into it, or it just doesn't fit your lifestyle, or your whatever reason you're not a gardener, from every end of that spectrum, we all still end up at some point or other in the produce aisle at the grocery store. I mean, we can't grow everything all year long.
Right.
So, Julie, you have put some great articles together on maximizing and finding local produce right in our home.
Yes, we have a couple of articles on enhancing your farmer's market shopping experience. That has about 16 different tips, and I quiz the experts in this area. And then we have another article on Fill Your Plate. It's in the nutritious news section of fillyourplate.org. We have 6 tips on enhancing your shopping experience in the produce aisle. And people don't realize, but a local farmer's market is not the only place to buy fresh, nutritious, and local. And it's an exciting time, especially right now, because we've got all our winter produce coming off in Yuma, where 90% of America's, leafy greens are coming from. So you can find a lot of local in your grocery store whether you think you can or not, it's a good time to be going and getting fresh produce.
And turnaround time, one of the points that the article made that I was impressed with is it's less than 4 hours in a lot of cases for this produce to hit the distribution centers. And, you know, you could be getting produce that literally was picked earlier that morning if you're hitting this on your way home at...
What was so neat about, I had an interview with a Jack Armstrong, 40 years with Bash's, and he told me, Julie, with some of our farmers and the way we've got the distribution set up, we can literally have the produce in our produce aisles within 4 hours of having picked it from the farmers. So there's a lot of those opportunities. Of course, you find the same thing in the farmers market. And the other unique and special thing about a farmer's market is you get to talk to the farmers. But in either case, whether it's the grocery store or the farmer's market, Arizona has an abundance of fresh produce and a lot of it coming from our Arizona farmers, which is so neat.
1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE-4U. We are here to take questions about anything having to do with your landscape, garden, soil prep today in the garden. We're also talking about finding local produce. Alan in Scottsdale has a question on olive trees. We'll see if we can field the question real quick. Go ahead, sir.
Sure. I've got two trees in my front yard. Both of them are about 25 feet tall, and they were planted when the house was built back in the 70s. Mm-hmm. The problem is they are about a foot and a half away from the wall, and my concern is the foundation. If I do take the trees down and leave the root system, will it create a larger problem by leaving the root system so close to the foundation, or do you recommend another way of getting the roots out?
Well, are they causing a problem now?
I'm sorry, what?
Are they causing a problem now?
No, they're not causing a problem now. Again, my concern is just in the future.
Well, if they haven't caused a problem by now, they're full grown. I doubt you're going to have a problem. You know, the root system is probably, other than the small feeder roots, is as big as it's going to get. If you haven't had any structural issues at this point, those trees are 40 in the ground 40 years, you're not going to have a problem. So to cut them down out of fear, I think is unnecessary. Now, if you're just determined to cut them down, you can cut them down and you can kill the root system by using a product called brush and stump killer. Or normally, a plant, once the top is removed and you work at it, you know, it'll die eventually anyway. Olive trees don't necessarily do that real quickly, so use some brush and stump killer on it and you'd be fine, but I wouldn't cut them down.
Appreciate the call, and you're absolutely right. 40 years and there hasn't been a problem, don't go looking for one.